Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at WFHR. Got your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by Melissa.
Good morning.
Seth.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Hope you're having a great start to your Monday out there. We'll be getting in some entertainment in a little bit. We'll also be joined by Tom Heiser with our monthly veterans update. We're looking forward to all of that coming up for you. But of course, it is a Monday in the 9 o'clock hour. You know what that means.
Tell me something good.
Good morning and welcome to the Kitchens Open on WFHR for this Monday, March 3rd. It's hard to believe we are already in the third month of the year. The time is just flying by. Mm-hmm. We've celebrated New Year's and Valentine's.
Oh, don't forget MLK and President's Day. And we're going to be going green, celebrating St. Patrick's Day in just 2 weeks.
This week is one of the biggest parties of the year to celebrate, Mardi Gras, which is the celebration of Fat Tuesday, of course.
Now, isn't Fat Tuesday also associated with the season of Lent?
Yes, but it's called Shrove Tuesday in the Christian community. It's the day before Ash Wednesday when the tradition to remove all fat from the house happens.
Britannica.com shares, Shrove, derived from shrive, refers to the confession of sins as a preparation for Lent, a usual practice in Europe in the Middle Ages. Although the day is sometimes still used for self-examination and introspection, Shrove Tuesday eventually acquired the character of a carnival or festival in many places and is often celebrated with parades, like, of course, the Mardi Gras parade in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm. Now, Britannica.com goes on to share, as the final day before the austerity of the Lenten fast, Shrove Tuesday has many customs pertaining to food, in particular, sweet foods containing eggs, sugar, and fat, which were commonly forbidden during Lent and would otherwise go to waste in the 6.5 weeks between Ash Wednesday and Easter. Pancakes are the traditional choice in a number of European countries. The day is known as Pancake Day or Pancake Tuesday in Ireland and in many Commonwealth countries. Similarly, rich pre-Lenten treats, including punchkis, fruit-filled deep-fried pastries similar to donuts that are enjoyed in Poland and in ethnic Polish communities in the United States, including right around here. Mm-hmm. An iconic part of Mardi Gras, Fat Tuesday in New Orleans, is the king cake. It is an ice-ringed shape pastry that is sprinkled with gold, green, and purple sugar and typically contains a plastic figurine representing the baby Jesus.
Don't eat that part.
No. Traditionally, the person who receives the piece of cake containing that figurine is called the king or queen of the Mardi Gras festivities and is obligated to host the next party of the season.
Oh, so that's the catch on that
one.
That's
the sticky wicket.
Yeah,
don't mind being called a queen. Don't know if I want to host a party.
Yeah, there you go. See, being called the queen is always a plus, right?
The pros and cons to everything,
actually,
right?
Although that does sound like the ice ring shape. That sounds like a Kringle.
It does. It really does.
Sounds very similar, yeah.
I think it's a bit more dense, though.
I'm sure it is, yeah.
In my own neighborhood, growing up, my best friend, his family came from Citadel, I want to say, right outside of NOLA and everything. And they talked a lot about certain traditions from over there and doing them in Chicago. Mm. And one of the ones that they talked about was this, and the king cake and how important that was. And for... So I've always been really, like, anytime anybody has anything, presents something, I'm always the last one to grab something. It's just the way I was raised and just who I am. Mm-hmm. And they would make this cake, and they would make this cake. And it was only like 2 or 3 years in a row that they did this, that we lived there. But every year I'd wait. I never got a piece. I still to this day have not, I don't know what king cake tastes like, and I'm dying to know. I'll host a party next year if it means I get to try.
Just get to try king cake.
There you go.
I love this tradition. I cannot believe how little we ever hear of anybody choking, like a choking hazard or any of this. And just real quick side note, the most terrifying mascot in all of human history is the king cake baby for the New Orleans Pelicans.
That's so weird. Oh my God.
It's terrifying. It is terrifying. But have either of you made this cake? Have you tried it before?
I have not.
No, I have not either. So, I mean, it sounds wonderful.
It does sound really good.
I love colorful cakes.
Right.
I don't care what it tastes like. I just like colorful cakes.
Right. And I the hope hope is that if you have this cake, you already know this tradition. So you are aware that there might be something that is not edible in your edible cake.
Yes. That would be my luck. I'm just like, this looks really good.
Crunch, yeah.
No breaking teeth.
My incisor.
Well, growing up, we didn't do this king cake thing, but we had another tradition from my Penn Dutch background. So Shrove Tuesday was always Fasnacht Day.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Okay. It's a Penn Dutch tradition that came from Germany. In the town where I lived in when I first started my ministry, which is Lititz, Pennsylvania, there was a local grocery store called Stauffer's of Kissel Hill that shares this history on their website. A Fasnacht is a typical fried donut that originated in Germany. They are traditionally served during popular German celebrations, such as Carnival and Fasnacht, or on Shrove Tuesday. These treats were originally made as a way to empty the pantry of lard, sugar, fat, and butter before the Lenten fasting period, also known as Lent, which is observed by many Christian denominations. The German version of the Fasnacht is made from a yeast dough, which is deep fried and coated or dusted in powdered sugar or cinnamon sugar. Some are filled with fruit jam or pastry cream. Fasnachts differ from average donuts because they tend to be denser and are usually square or triangular in shape. Plus, they don't have the holes in the middle. The closest thing that I have been able to find outside of that area is more like a fritter. Than it is a donut.
Yeah.
So it's a more dense dough.
Yeah, but it's still a little different, too, because the shapes are different, too.
It is. And I my mom used to make Fasnachts for us on Shrove Tuesday, and I really miss this tradition. So what does Fasnacht mean? Well, the word Fasnacht originated from the German word fast, which is a shortened version of the word fasten, and Nacht, which means night. So it's the fast night.
Gotcha.
So you get rid of all of this stuff before you start your fasting on Ash Wednesday. The term was originally used to indicate the eve of the traditional Lenten period. Inhabitants of Pennsylvania Dutch country, which includes Lancaster, York, and Berks County in central Pennsylvania, all celebrate Fasnachts as part of their Easter traditions. So if you're interested, I now finally have a recipe that was on this grocery store's website. And the fact that they are able to share it and not just sell the pre-made donuts is wonderful. Oh. So here's what you're going to do if you want to make a Fasnacht. You're going to find a medium saucepan, and in that you're going to warm up 2 cups of milk and then add in a half a cup of unsalted butter. Now, that is a specific thing in recipes when you see unsalted versus salted, because there's a ratio between the salt and other ingredients. So that if salt is an ingredient and you use salted butter, you're throwing off that ratio.
Right.
So you want to add a half a cup of unsalted butter and you stir until everything is melted. In a large bowl, you're going to mix 2 teaspoons of salt, 3/4 cup sugar, and 1/4 teaspoon of nutmeg. You're going to pour the melted milk and butter mixture into the mixing bowl and stir all of that until it's well mixed, and let it sit until it's room temperature. So you want to let it cool off.
Okay.
Once the mixture is cold, you mix in 2 large eggs that are already beaten and 2 packages, not just one like you would use for bread, but 2 packages of active dry yeast. So that's what's going to help it rise. Mm-hmm. Then you're going to add in 3 cups of flour into the mixture. If you have a stand mixer, you beat it at a low speed for 2 minutes. If you're mixing it by hand, stir for at least 2 minutes or until smooth. Once your mixture is well mixed, you're going to add the remaining cups of flour. So there's 1 more cup or 2 more cups of flour, and stir it by hand. You're going to put the dough on a floured surface and knead for about 3 minutes. Place the dough in a greased bowl. Make sure to turn it over so that all sides of the dough are greased, because then you're going to proof it. You're going to cover the bowl with a clean kitchen towel and allow it to proof. Proofing is basically a cooking term to mean you allow the dough to rest and rise before you bake it. So you're going to do that once now for about an hour until it has doubled in size. Punch the dough down and then turn it out onto a floured surface. Roll out the dough into a 1/4-inch thick disc. And then you're going to cut the dough into even squares and cover it again with a kitchen towel so that it can proof a second time for another 45 minutes, or until it double in size again. So twice you're going to let it double in size. After the squares have doubled in size, begin heating about 2 to 3 inches of cooking oil to 370 degrees in a deep saucepan. Drop the dough squares into the frying oil, but be mindful not to crowd the saucepan, because when you add too much, it's going to lower the temperature of the oil, and you want to keep it at the same oil.
Right.
Once the bottom side of the squares is golden brown, you flip them over to cook the other side, and when both sides are golden brown, that's when you remove them and set them on a paper towel to cool. You dab the Fastnachs to remove the excess oil, unless you want to coat them. So you can enjoy them the traditional way with molasses on the side or dusted with powdered sugar or cinnamon sugar. Another way to make Fastnachs is even more delicious when you fill them with pastry cream or jam. So if you do decide to coat your Fastnachs, like I said, with the powdered sugar or cinnamon sugar, make sure you do it while they're still warm and they still have a little bit of that grease on them. You're going to place 2 or 3 of them into a large Ziploc bag with whatever coating you desire, and then you toss them around until they're completely coated.
There is a donut I have not heard of.
Oh, no.
I have not tried. And now I am on a mission.
Yes. All right.
I would like to take this opportunity to let all my friends and family out there know that I am on a mission. I am leaving the station. I am leaving my current job. I am leaving acting on a mission to find this. I'm just going to walk the earth like Kane. I'm going to come from. I'm just going to walk the earth looking for new donuts.
It's about 1,200 miles east.
There you go. Go to Pennsylvania.
Already got my walking stick. Already got the details in this really make it stand out. And I don't know. Like, I'm sure a lot of people already. It sounded intriguing, but hearing you describe the ingredients and everything, I don't know. Just pulled me into wanting to try it even more.
They are delicious when they are made well by somebody who knows what they're doing. They are phenomenal. They really are.
Yep.
Is it a? Do you? And it doesn't sound like you've made these before, Beth.
Not yet.
So I don't mean to ask, like, because since you haven't, but off just taking a look at it and everything, does it seem like it'd be difficult to make? Does it seem like
the biggest challenge is making sure that you have the oil at the right temperature?
It's always the biggest thing with
that
stuff. And
so you want to make sure you have a heating thermometer that you can put in there that you can keep regulating that temperature. And you have to have patience, because this prep work is at least 3 hours, because twice you have to let the dough just sit there and do nothing.
Right.
And that can be frustrating for people who want to just get it done and put it in the oven.
Yeah.
So this is one that you have to plan to make. You have to make the time to make, but it is so well worth it. When these are done, they're just phenomenal.
My mom has said for a very long time, I want to make her a t-shirt with it. The difference of cooking and baking, patience.
Yes.
Like, that's the biggest difference. Yeah, absolutely.
That was a good one, Beth.
Yeah.
That was
really
good.
So one thing you don't want to get rid of, or we don't want you to rid your business of the opportunity, is to sponsor our segment, which will highlight your business and have the opportunity to be interviewed and have us present to do this segment live from your business.
That'd be a lot of fun. So if you're interested in more information about this sweet deal, just give us a call at 715-424-1300 and speak with Pam. She'll put you in touch with Ashley to work out all the details.
That number again is 715-424-1300.
And with that, we'll close the kitchen.
All right.
Another great episode.
I am going to put this recipe, I'll put a link into our newsletter.
All right.
Which will be coming out on Thursday. So if you don't have that newsletter and you want this recipe, simply go to our website.
Nice.
And sign up. It's free to sign up for the website. And there's so much good information there.
Yes, yeah, there is.
Yeah. Very cool. Thank you for doing that.
Yeah.
And thank you for another great segment. Great way to kick off the week.
Yeah.
Be listening next week for another edition of The Kitchen's Open with Beth Habegger right here at WFHR. We'll be back with our friend Tom Heisler in our monthly Veterans Update coming up on The Morning Show. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. You have your host, James, here. I am joined by Melissa and Seth. And every month at the beginning of the month, we are joined by our great friend, Tom Heiser, with our monthly Veterans Update. We've got to get some theme music for Tom. We've got to figure that out. We've got to figure something out good for Tom.
Come up with something for that,
All I have is like lame ideas in my head. We got to work on something better, because anything I'm going to throw out there is horrible. But not the information we get from Tom. I cannot thank you enough, Tom, because the audience may not know this, but behind the scenes, Tom is always giving us information throughout the month, keeping us up to date on all the things going on with our veterans so that we can let the audience know. Appreciate that, Tom.
No problem. Glad to do it.
And, of course, I don't want to keep you too long. We want to dive right into things. And as we were kind of joking in our pregame here, we've got some signs of spring coming up, Tom.
You got that right. You know, yeah. Robin is secondary now.
Yes. Let's dive right in. What do we have first up, Tom?
Okay, well, today is the monthly breakfast over at Grace's restaurant, started at 9. And today is also Star Spangled Banner Day, which was brought into 1931. And this weekend, we got the state gymnastics tournament.
That's right.
At Lincoln High School. And our VFW presents the colors before the team and the individual events.
Love it.
And then also on Saturday is the Elks Lodge here in Rapids for $12 spaghetti meal.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Can't beat it. Can't beat it.
Spaghetti meal, James.
I mean, they're right there. Right up my alley. Yes.
Tom,
Tom, if you don't mind, just for a second, you mentioned about presenting and everything at the gymnastics tourney and such. What it must mean for the individuals being able to do that. I can't imagine the feeling and what it must feel like.
It's really great in so much as, you know, pregame, we're milling around and talking to people. And the people that come up and say, thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you for your service. Really appreciate it. And then you find a vet and you connect with them.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's just, it's a lot of fun.
And, you know, no matter the sporting event, no matter the event, these things are important. But the depth and the detail, how much more important it is when it comes to, you know, high school, kid-related things, having these things going on, and kids seeing this, and kids seeing adults show the respect that we do to our veterans and that. That part of it has an extra layer to it for me, I think, in general. So I love whenever you bring note to these, and I appreciate that.
What it is interesting, because we've had some coaches come up to us and say, the kids love this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right on.
Yep.
You know, so it's a lot of fun. And Auburndale High School, the Vets Breakfast on March 11th, which is a Tuesday from 8 to 9:15 up in Auburndale. We're back. The Heroes Cafe is back.
That's right. Yeah. Another sign of spring. Yeah.
Yes.
Coffee, donuts, and a occasional true story.
But lots of stories.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know this lady that was there and got many notebooks full.
She's pretty good. She's pretty good. Yeah.
She did indeed.
And on Wednesday, March 12th, the American Legion has their monthly meeting at 7. Thursday the 13th, the Rudolph American Legion has their monthly meeting. And the VBA, our chapter, is coming back again after a little hiatus.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Count the gray hairs. On Wednesday, March 19th, as Iraqi freedom began in 2003.
Wow.
Yeah, man. That's 20 years. Over 20 years.
Yeah. Important to note.
Mm-hmm. And on Thursday, the 20th, the VFW Post 2534 has their meeting at 6. Mm-hmm. And Kosovo, on Monday, March 21st, Kosovo campaign, 1999.
Jeez. I know that, but when you see it in writing, it really stands out. It really,
brain cells.
Mm-hmm.
And on Tuesday, March 25th, there was a free Army field band show at the PAC Center.
Mm-hmm.
Free, get a hold of the PAC Center, and you get your free tickets. So.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah, yeah. We'll be talking about this and that and many of these leading up to it.
And on March 25th is National Medal of Honor Day, which was brought into fruition in 1991.
Mm-hmm.
And on Wednesday the 26th, second Heroes Cafe of the month.
That's
more
right.
Donuts, that coffee, and stories.
Mm-hmm.
And on the 29th is Vietnam Veterans Day, which came in 2012.
Okay.
March 31st, the anniversary of Somalia, and ending in 1995.
Mm-hmm.
And we had it starting and ending same month.
Yeah.
Now, here's a sign of spring. Veterans brought fry.
All right.
Veterans brought some back.
Yep.
And that's on Saturday, April 5th. On Sunday, April 6th, the U.S. entered World War I in 1917.
Man.
So April's busy.
Mm-hmm. It really is. Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. And April 6th, U.S. Army Day. And on Monday, April 7th, is Vietnam, or I should say, the Veterans Breakfast again at Grace's. That's the first Monday opposite of me's. So
Tom never gets to go.
Yeah,
it's a shame. Yeah, that's a bad, right? but a great one and a great note there, too. And Tom, appreciate all of this. I do want to remind everybody as well that this time of month, and as we're getting ready to closer to filing and for that there's free filing tax filing for a lot of veterans. There are a lot of opportunities for that out there. You can get personalized one-on-one support for that. Veterans Community Support Program is out there for you if you would like to find out more about that. We can help you with that as well. Otherwise, encourage you to go to their website, the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, for more websites. website. Exactly. More information, more website. Mm. More information, more
website. You're going to get on the website. Right,
yeah. You're going to get a lot more website on the website. You're going to, yeah.
And then Auburndale High School is very, very, very veteran friendly. Mm-hmm. And they've got a lot of things coming up. And they have the duck trip.
Yeah. Oh, right. The ducks, the Dells Ducks. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's on Wednesday, May 14th. You ride the original Wisconsin Ducks, followed by a meal at Pizza Ranch.
All right.
Nice.
Sounds like afternoon.
The chicken at Pizza Ranch. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they have a really good salad bar, too.
That's true. They do.
It's a great place.
And let's see. And you got to get a hold of Auburndale High School by ahead of time to let them know so they know how many buses to get. Mm-hmm. And they want to know by Friday, April 16th. Okay. So call Auburndale High School. And the school hosts a Veterans Coffee Club on the second Tuesday of each month. And it's at Auburndale High School in the new gym lobby from 8 to 9:15. I know there are some vets from Rapids that do travel up there, and they say it's a really good time.
Yeah.
And if you're a veteran, doesn't have to be Vietnam, doesn't have to be, you know, if you are a veteran, they are doing their history class. We'll be conducting interviews of veterans on Tuesday, April 8th.
Oh, cool.
Wow. Interesting. That will be a really interesting one. Wow. That's a great idea.
And, and Melissa, I gave her your website.
Good, nice.
Oh, good.
And she said thank you for that. Mm-hmm. And those are going to be at 9:30 and 1:15 up in Auburndale. And they're going to be doing the flags for veterans across on Main Street like they'd have here in Rapids and Rudolph. So that's going to be coming up also up there. So any information, just or if you want any more information, call Auburndale High School and they'll go from there on that.
Very good.
And Tom, if people do have follow-up questions or they'd like to know more or maybe even get some information to you, how can they get in touch with you?
715-600-0401.
And keep in mind, everybody, if you missed that number, if you missed this episode, but you want to catch up with Tom or anything, reach out to us. We'll help connect you or anything like that. Like Tom connects us with our veterans out here. We appreciate that so much, Tom. And looking forward to hanging out again next month and talking to you real soon.
No problem. And the Heroes Cafe is still at Crossview Church. Okay. One thing I forgot to mention, just that, you know, it's starting up again.
Yeah. Yep.
I know a lot of vets can't wait for that.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're not alone. They're not alone. We know how much the community loves that one. We'll be highlighting each of these things as in our good stories of the day leading up throughout the month here. Again, thanks for the time, Tom.
No problem. Thank you very much for having me, and enjoy the weather.
You too.
It's all changed.
Thanks, Tom.
We'll be back with more show coming up here, everybody. We've got we got plenty to talk about as far as an entertainment section, all that on the way after our news, sports, and partner break here on The Morning Show. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Don't drink so much coffee in the morning, everybody. It's just a side note. Just a side note.
Just a little check that out.
A little side note. We got to thank our guests so far this hour. A big thank you to Beth and Tom for joining us. That was a fun way to kick off a Monday for the month and everything.
That's awesome.
Absolutely.
Appreciate the information from both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Let's dive into entertainment now, as we are like to do in the 9 o'clock hour. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we got to talk Oscars, and we're going to talk Razzies. We're going to wrap up with Razzie talk and have some fun. But a lot of conversation, of course, after every Oscars. People kind of, I don't know if people realize they're doing it or not, but you're giving right into the Oscars with talking about like all the things you don't like about the Oscars.
Exactly. At least you're talking about them, right?
Yeah, that's all they want.
I didn't even know they happened.
That's awesome.
Bless you, Melissa. Bless you.
That's double awesome to me because I think of Melissa as a creative, and I think that's awesome. I think that's great. So, big night for Anora. Anora was the big winner, and I think if you were paying attention, a lot of people kind of predicted this, that it was going to run away with this, which is why I'm a little surprised people were so surprised that it ran away with this.
They were surprised they were right. Usually they're not.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Mikki Madsen won Best Actress. Demi Moore was the a lot of people felt like was going to win, but she did not. So they're calling this denied, or she was snubbed, or something like that.
Of course, because they got to put a negative spin on it.
Yeah, absolutely. The Substance did win Best Makeup and Hairstyling. Adrien Brody won for Best Actor in The Brutalist, and is his second Oscar. Mm-hmm. Kieran Culkin won for Best Supporting Actor for A Real Pain. Zoe Saldana won for Best Supporting Actress for Amelia Perez. Mm-hmm. Some of the bigger winners.
Nice.
Some of the bigger notes were from the night. Daryl Hannah came out and had a nice, she did a nice job in talking about some other things going on as far as David Lynch and some other stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm really focused on Conan O'Brien.
Okay.
So there's a lot of things that we'll talk about here, but real quickly, I want to make it, just bring it home here. Conan O'Brien introduced Billy Crystal and Meg Ryan at the end, and he said, Meg Ryan, you know, et cetera, great actress, and the greatest Oscar host of all time, Billy Crystal. Mm-hmm. And I don't disagree with him, but if Conan keeps at that, he could be the best. They did this right. They treated this like if you were a longtime Conan O'Brien fan, this was a throwback to the old late night show that used to come on after The Tonight Show.
Right.
He brought his writers with him, but he still made it adaptable to everybody.
Okay.
It was a perfect hosting job.
Ooh.
Perfect. I have no notes. I did text him that. He didn't get back to me yet. I'm kidding.
I can't imagine why.
But I was extremely proud of that. There were a couple of cool moments. Isabella Rossellini wore blue velvet and had Laura Dern as her plus one.
Yeah.
For those that don't know, David Lynch's former wife, mm-hmm. Laura Dern, as well as wearing blue velvet, famous from
the
David
movie,
Lynch,
of course. Yep.
Thought that was just a beautiful tip of the hat.
A little tribute. Yep.
Thought that was great. The one other note, the In Memoriam every year, mm-hmm. people get, now these are actual snubs. This is an actual snub when you are not included in the memoriam.
Right.
Michelle Trachtenberg that just passed away.
Right.
Now you might say, well, she just passed away in the last week. They weren't able to fill her in. They did have Gene Hackman in there who actually passed away even shorter.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Tony Todd is one that really frustrated me. Tony Todd, famous character actor, most famous, for playing Candyman. But Tony Todd dedicated his life to acting.
Yes,
he did a lot more work than
he
just
did all
that.
Kinds of stuff. Yep.
Tony Roberts, Martin Mull, for God's sake. How do you not have Martin Mull or Shannon Doherty in there? There was a number of names that should have been mentioned that weren't. And you can give me all the you want about time, then don't do it.
Yeah.
If you are not going to do it right, if you are going to not include certain names, then don't even bother doing it. Nobody in human history has asked for this. We can honor these people in our own way. Whether it's Gene Hackman or it's any other, it's the sound engineer that nobody knows of that they put up there or something. We can honor these people ourselves, mm-hmm. or you can do it right, Academy. Don't do it at all or do it right, one or the other.
Yep.
And
it shouldn't matter. Like you said, the time should have nothing on this part. No.
I do tip my hat to Morgan Freeman and the great narration he did of Gene Hackman and his life. I thought that was very respectable.
Cool.
As far as I'm hearing some talk about Demi Moore not winning and the young lady that did win, Maddie, and for Anora. And her work, like as somebody who voted on this, and I don't like sharing this stuff that often, but I will admit that I voted for Demi Moore.
Okay.
I voted for her in part for the wrong reasons. I voted for her in part because of Samuel L. Jackson. I voted for her in art because I don't believe that the awards for best actor, best actress, best supporting actress, all these things should be lifetime achievement awards. That's what the Cecil B. DeMille Award is for.
Right.
If we get it wrong and you don't get an Oscar in your career, that's on the Academy, not the actor.
Right.
And not the other actors.
Right.
It's on the Academy that Demi Moore did not win for G.I. Jane or some of these other things. It is not Mickey Madison's fault. And this young lady is taking the heat right now for doing her job better than anybody else. Like, that's what we're giving her a hard time for. It is awful. It is kind of it is symmetry of this, too, that I don't hear enough people talking about, that the whole point of the substance was what just happened to Demi Moore. She just lost out to a younger actor.
Yes.
Like, it's the whole point of the substance. So you're right. Missing the whole point of all of this. And this is just so everybody else can feel good. Because watch Demi Moore when this is going on. I don't know if there's anybody more excited for this young lady than Demi Moore.
Mm-hmm.
There was no, I can't believe she won. Now, you look at the other actors in that category, and some of them had some looks on their faces. But Demi Moore couldn't have been more happy for this young lady. No different than Susan Lucci every time somebody won a daytime Emmy and she didn't.
Yeah.
Every time you saw that, you never saw Susan Lucci angry in there or anything like that.
And I'm sure she was disappointed she didn't win, But of course. She's
how could she not be?
Yeah, exactly. But but she realizes this is maybe it's because she's been in the game for so long, you know. And it's just like, yeah, this is how it works out. And I'm not going to waste my energy, you know, being upset about it, you know.
Yeah.
So I don't know what she was thinking, but you know, you hope that's what it would be.
I also voted for Timothy Chalamet for Best Actor. He did not win. Adrian Brody won. I was very happy for him to win. His speech was dragged on. You could tell that he did not expect to win and that he had something in mind, but that he did not think he was going to be giving that speech.
Right.
I've seen a lot of people taking shots at that speech. I'm going to move on from that. What I would like to focus on is some things that I heard on our own airwaves this morning about people. Hey, I actually heard the line, how do we feel about Adrian Brody winning an Oscar for basically playing the same character? Thinking Brody won for the same role is not only out of touch and sad, but screams of right next to anti-Semitism, but not getting there quite. They're different, and if you don't see that, it's on you, not the actor. And it's a life of privilege that those of us that wear the Jewish Star of David cannot have. To look at those two roles and think they're identical, or that he won an award for the same thing, it just screams of not of being out of touch. Mm. It just screams of not paying attention to the work. Adrian Brody himself noted this in part in his speech. And it just, in a day and age where anti-Semitism is on the rise literally every day, to just throw these things out there, people have no problem throwing shade at Jewish people and Jewish things. Anything else under the umbrella, anything else out there, they hesitate. They worried about getting canceled. Nobody worries about throwing this stuff out there. And yet it continues to rise. This anti-Semitism continues to rise. We've got stuff going on as close to us as Wausau, if not in this own town that we live in. And yet people just keep on going with this and rolling with it and throw out things like that like it's nothing, like it doesn't mean anything, like it's a joke. There's nothing funny about this, and that performance he gave, just like for The Pianist, is one of the stronger performances you will see in acting. Mm-hmm. The only reason I didn't vote for him is the wrong reasons again, because he already won, and I wanted to see a young person win an award that hasn't won one again. I did this wrong, and I own that hundredly, and the Academy got it right, because there is a gigantic difference of playing Bob Dylan and playing the character that Adrian Brody did in The Brutalist. It's incredible work. Give me AI, give me all these different things you want. It doesn't take away from the performance he gave, and it was the strongest performance you saw last year. Colin Domingo did an amazing job, too. I wouldn't have had a problem with him winning, and obviously what I said about Timothy Chalamet.
Right.
And I don't want to escape past this. Your opinions matter. Like, if you think somebody else should have won, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But the idea that he shouldn't have won because he, quote-unquote, played this character before, well, that's typecasting, man. That ain't his fault. That's typecasting. Why don't people get mad at the real things to get mad about here? Casting directors, or that there aren't that many roles for Jewish people outside of World War II picks. That's the only time we get to wear our cross. That's the only time we get to actually be proud of being Jewish, is if we're talking about something involved with the Holocaust. Otherwise, nobody gives a dang. How about we talk about that instead of the idea, well, Adrian Brody won an Oscar for playing the same character again. Tell me you don't know anything about acting without telling me you don't know anything about acting, because you just did. It's ridiculous to me. And I don't care if I get in trouble for this. I don't care what calls come my way. I'll take it. I'm tired of this. And I'm tired of people just skating past this. We've got our own government doing it. And nobody is getting upset. Nobody's getting canceled. It's ridiculous. And if anybody is okay with that, if anybody has a problem with me getting on a soapbox right here, 715-424-2600. My email is james.maleff@civicmedia.us. I look forward to talking with you. Razzies now. The opposite of the Oscars. this is one of the more fun award shows I think there is.
Yep.
And while you wouldn't want to be invited to the Razzies, it does seem like it'd be kind of fun to go, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, you're going and you're having, like, for those that don't know, the Razzies are the opposite of the Oscars.
Right, for
the
worst acting job, yeah, or worst performance, worst film, worst all that stuff, yep.
I do think, I admire, like, Halle Berry. Fame and Adrian Brody, for that note, have both shown up at the Razzies and like accepted and been very like had fun with it and everything. I admire that, and it's one thing to see them do that, but Francis Ford Coppola showed up at the Razzies and accepted his award and couldn't have had more fun with it.
Oh, I love it.
He accepted it and said, against the prevailing trends of contemporary movie making, he added, in this wreck of a world today where art is given scores as if it were professional wrestling, I chose to not follow the gutless rules. Let us remind ourselves that box office is only about money, and like war, stupidity and politics has no true place in our future. Madam Webb won for Worst Picture.
Yeah, very good, very good.
Jerry Seinfeld won for Worst Actor in Unfrosted. Dakota Johnson won for Worst Actress in Madam Webb.
They did not collect their awards in person. No.
That's actually one I want to see.
Is the Madam Webb?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, well, hey.
That one is out on video already. It went out pretty quickly. And actually,
I'm just recoup their losses.
Yeah, exactly. And a number of these did too. One of the other things that I find funny is usually when this award is nominated for a Razzie and for
an Oscar, which has happened in the past. Yes,
I believe Emilia Perez was nominated for some, and that was nominated for a couple. And I want to send real quickly, just going back to the Oscars real quick, because I forgot this part. Zoe Saldana's speech was fantastic. And I was very happy for
her. I haven't heard the speech, but I heard it was interesting.
Kieran Culkin's speech was a little uncomfortable, but was pretty funny. I did really like, I thought the speech of the night was hers. I thought she just did an amazing job there, and she was a really nice, really strong job.
Very cool.
We will go ahead and get to our timeout here. We'll come back, and we're going to have to save one of our stories here for a little bit later.
Okay.
But we will get into this one thing about society that surprised a guy who got released from prison after 30 years.
Oh, we'll
touch on that cool. when we come back on The Morning right. Show. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Melissa, Seth, and James hanging out with you. Thanks so much for joining us. Going to get to our schedule and some good stories of the day, but thought this was a good one. A 51-year-old guy in Hawaii named Gordon Cordio got out of prison on Friday after spending 30 years behind bars for a crime he didn't commit. He was convicted of killing a guy in 94 over a drug deal gone bad, but he always maintained his innocence, and DNA evidence finally cleared him.
Wow.
One of the first things he did was go out for a nice steak dinner, which was a little different than the prison food that he had been eating, of course.
Sure.
But he said the craziest thing about his experience so far is everybody's looking at their phone all the time. He had never seen a cell phone because smartphones weren't a thing until 94.
Right.
He didn't even have a flip phone until 96, and all he had was a beeper. So,
oh, wow.
He told a reporter he got his first cell phone as soon as he got out on Friday, but he's not obsessed with it yet, he says. Yet. He mainly
leaving himself open.
I like the acknowledgement.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Just in case.
He mainly just thinks it's weird how messages are always flooding in. Quote, it keeps beeping. Just won't stop.
You can turn that off, buddy.
Welcome to 2025.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah. Yeah. But now we've talked about this endlessly about this, but I think the perspective is just interesting to take, and maybe hopefully gives people a little bit a beat to this to think about it before immediately pick up your phone the second you're bored. Yeah, and maybe look around a little bit and everything. And I thought that was interesting one.
For him, I think, just being out, and doing stuff, so maybe that's why he hasn't gotten obsessed with it yet. Mm-hmm. But he's like, well, as soon as the novelty will wear off of being, out of prison after a while. So, yep, going to the phone. Mm-hmm.
But it is interesting if you go somewhere, like just try it one time. Mm-hmm. Look around. And see how many people are on their phones. It's interesting experiment.
It's really interesting, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a people watcher, so I tend to catch this a lot. Mm. But I am not at all saying that I am not guilty of this myself.
Oh, no.
Same.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes you use it as a deterrent.
That's true, to keep people away from you, right?
Yep.
I will be honest with everybody out there. I keep headphones on me almost 24/7 for that very thing. If I am just in not a people mood, it's better. And trust me, this is for the betterment of society. This is for the betterment of everybody. I mean, did you just hear the last segment, me going off like, I mean, come on. It's just, nobody wants that in personal life. Nobody. J&R Aquatic Animal Rescue will host an exotic pet surrender event on March 28th in Stevens Point. I wanted to give people a heads up on this one.
That's a good one, yeah.
Yeah, I want to send a shout out to Patrick Lynn and the nice reporting he did of this one. The event is scheduled for noon at 3 o'clock at the Holiday Inn Convention Center and offers pet owners a safe and responsible alternative to releasing unwanted animals in the wild.
Very important.
Yeah,
very important.
What you shouldn't do is because no. They're not from here.
No.
The event held during the Wisconsin Lakes and Rivers Convention as part of the Wisconsin Water Week highlights the environmental threat possessed by about these animals.
Yes. I have a question for James, you and Melissa, you both recent pet owners or, you know, you're around pets and that mm-hmm. stuff. Are you guys, maybe it's just me, but I'm so uncomfortable with exotic pets. And I know a couple people who have them, but to me, it just, there's so much that could go wrong, you know, that yeah. I just feel it's like, oh, it just makes me uncomfortable, I guess.
No, I hear you, because I wouldn't choose to have an exotic pet. Like, if I had a pet, I would want a dog or a cat.
Right.
Because I want something that I can, you know, pet and that will give me attention in return to the attention I give them.
Ah,
I don't
okay.
know that exotic pets do that.
That's a good point.
I mean, sort of, in their own way. And yeah. maybe if that's what you're looking for,
if
that's not what I'm looking for.
Gotcha.
Yeah. We domesticated a lot of these animals, and I believe that falls on us to take care of them.
Right.
I think we did not domesticate a lot of these exotic animals. This is a vanity project. This is about you, not the animal. And anytime it's about the person and not the animal, you lose me. I have never heard one yeah. good reason to have an exotic animal. I've not heard one good yeah. reason.
Sounds like a recipe for disaster.
Yeah,
it really does.
It's a selfish act, and you deserve whatever karma you get from that. Like, whatever happens from it, Siegfried and Roy. I mean, come on.
How many years did they have it? And all of a sudden, that takes one time, and then you're in the hospital for a year.
That's how karma yeah. works, man.
Yeah. It's like, a plot line for a book or a movie. It's not for real life.
Right. Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We'll talk more about that as we get closer to the event. Want to get into our schedule and some other things that we got going on around here. And certainly a big thank you to Beth with the Kitchens Open today
mm-hmm. yep.
and Tom with our monthly Veterans Update.
Always
appreciated
good.
Those.
Absolutely. Yep.
We got great stuff coming up for you as well later this afternoon. Join us for Midday Magazine in part one. We're going to talk to Caitlin Kessler, Wisconsin Beef Council.
All right. So what's for dinner?
Yeah. We're talking about the best burger contest. We're talking corned
Ooh.
Beef, getting you ready for St. Patrick's Day and
Excellent.
Everything.
Nice.
And Jacqueline is going to join us from Rise Up Central Wisconsin in part two. We're going to talk about the Mural of Hope project here in Wisconsin Rapids.
Very cool. Yeah.
Looking forward to that. Of course, Playmakers going on tonight from 5 to 6. Nobody made a highlight from the sidelines. Get ready to join us. A big thank you to Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods sponsoring that hour.
Mm-hmm.
We got Playmakers all week this week, too. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, we'll be here with you for the show.
Yes.
And we wanted to let people know about this, a couple of other things, Seth. We got a bureau here new one we want to check out?
Yeah, we've got, of course, Visit Rome. They put out a really cool visitor's guide every single year, and we have some here at our offices, 1690 2nd Avenue South in Wisconsin Rapids. You can stop by during our normal business hours, 9 to 4. It is free, and it is very cool. Lots of great stuff that they do, because they also kind of handle the Nacoosa area as well. So it's not just Rome. It's that whole central Wisconsin area there. And we have a fabulous, the final show this year for the Arts Council in their season. It is the Music of Billy Joel and Elton John, featuring Michael Cavanaugh. He is the one who, I'm not going to say he impersonates both. He doesn't do that, but he sings both of their songs. And this is I was really shocked by this. A top 50 touring act in the country.
Yeah.
Like,
he's an excellent
think performer. Of how many touring acts there are in this country.
So
that's an amazing thing. And I mean, if you're a fan of either one or the other, Billy, usually you're the fan of both, because I know, you know, that's what people like in their pop anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be really cool. Of course, get your tickets at savorthearts.com. Pick your seats. You can get there. That's 24/7. If you need a little bit of assistance, you can stop by their offices at 1040 8th Street South, Suite 101, or give them a call, 715-424-2787, Monday through Thursday, 10 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. That is when they are open, and they can give you a hand if that is what you need.
We'll be talking with Sally and Michael coming
That's
up.
Right.
Sally and I have been working with Michael behind the scenes to figure out a good time for us to...
Hard guy to get a hold of for some reason. I can't imagine.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Shockingly.
Probably a little busy.
It's probably busy.
Yeah. We're looking forward to that, bringing that interview to you, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
A school bus driver near Cleveland saved 15 kids on Thursday after the bus burst into flames.
Oh, dear.
Oh, no.
Officials said that there was some kind of mechanical issue, and the fire started behind one of the back wheels. The whole bus was gutted by flames, but the driver got everyone out quickly, and no one was hurt.
Excellent.
Awesome.
That's a hero right there.
Absolutely.
A woman in England named Mary Thomas just turned 107 years old.
Woo!
Wow.
She is from Jamaica, but moved to the UK back in the 70s. Her husband passed away 30 years ago, but they had 8 kids together. She now has 25 grandchildren, 40 great-grandchildren, 25 great-great-grandchildren, and 5 great-great-great-grandkids.
Oh, my God.
That's incredible.
That's amazing. All those generations. Did you get to see them? Oh, that's so cool.
This is amazing. That's a wonderful story. However, Mary is wondering, are there any cards available, birthday
for
card?
For 3 greats?
For your great, great, great grandkid. Where's that birthday card?
I don't think there's a big market for that.
That's a beautiful story.
That's wonderful.
Awesome. That's incredible.
And a guy in Michigan bought his dad a lottery ticket for his birthday, and it hit, of course, a $1.1 million.
Of course. Nice.
He said his dad used to buy tickets at a specific liquor store, so that's where he went to get him one.
Oh, how about that?
Tradition.
I'm nice. Sure that his dad... I'm sure his dad is thrilled to win, but he's like, wait a minute. I went there all those years, and now you get the one? Right. You buy the one? What's up with that, man?
I didn't do a ton of digging, but I did. I looked at 2 different articles of this, trying to see if he had siblings, because there's no topping that if you're one of his siblings.
Nope.
There's no way. Especially if this was the youngest in the family that bought the lottery ticket. Oh, my God. You're never
they're never talking to him again.
Come on. Get over it. Just because you're not the favorite in the family, why every story this comes up?
Mute Melissa's microphone there.
It's an incredibly great note. It's a hilarious note that I my brain just an epiphany. She's right.
Wait,
I do.
That's
that.
Why I do all these stories.
I thought it was just funny, but no, actually, now I'm starting to wonder.
It's therapy. This show is therapy, everybody. I don't know if you knew that.
Welcome. I'll send you my bill in the mail.
Yeah, you should. You should. I've been getting. It's great. Great show today, you two. Thanks
you
so
too.
Much for the fun. Be good to each other out there. We will talk to you sooner than later right here at...
This is Locally Grown Radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.